Track 11. The Purest and the Most Sorrowful and Compassionate Mother.
Jesus and the apostles are returning from Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus' two apostle cousins, James of Alphaeus and Judas Thaddeus, are reminiscing about their childhood in Nazareth and about Mary. Then John says, "I am full of love for Mary. I will never see other women excite my love, except Mary, whom I love with my whole self. I said the same a month ago, didn't I, Lord?" says Thomas. And Matthew says, "I think that we are all full of love for her, such a noble celestial love. Our souls love her soul completely. Our minds love and admire her intelligence, and our eyes admire and delight in her pure grace, which gives joy without any anxiety, as when one looks at a flower. Mary is the beauty of the earth, and I think the beauty of heaven." "That is true," says Philip. "We all see in Mary what is sweetest in women, the pure girl and the most sweet mother." Then Peter says, "We love her because she is Mary. That's it." Jesus has been listening to them, and he says, "You have all spoken very well. Simon Peter is quite right. One loves Mary because she is Mary. On our way to Caesarea, I told you that only those who join perfect faith to perfect love will be successful in understanding the true meaning of the words, Jesus, the Christ, the Word, the Son of God, and the Son of Man. But I can now tell you that there is another name full of meaning, and it is the name of my mother. Only those who add perfect faith to perfect love will succeed in understanding the true meaning of the name Mary, of the mother of the Son of God. And the true meaning will begin to appear clearly to the true faithful and loving ones in a dreadful hour of torture, when the mother is to be tortured with her son, and she co-redeems with the Redeemer in the eyes of the whole world and forever and ever." A little later, after sharing some food with the apostles, Jesus explains what he has just said to them. Mary will be remembered with the greatest praise for giving Jesus the Saviour to the world. But it would be too little, as compared with what God exacts from her, to fill the measure required for the redemption of the world. Mary will not disappoint God's desire. She has never disappointed him. She has given and will give herself completely, both with regard to requests of total love and to those of total sacrifice. And when she has accomplished the supreme sacrifice, with me, and for me, and for the world, then the true faithful and loving believers will understand the real meaning of her name. And forever in the future, each true, faithful and loving believer will be granted to know the name of the great mother of the Holy Nurse, who will nourish all the children of Christ with her tears to bring them up for the life in heaven. "Tears, Lord? Why must your mother weep?" asks the Iscariot. "Every mother weeps, and mine will weep more than any other." "Why?" again asks Judas. "I made mine weep sometimes because I have not always been a good son. But you never grieve your mother." "No, I do not grieve her as her son, but I will deeply distress her as Redeemer." There are two who will make my mother weep endless tears. I, to save mankind, mankind by its continuous sinning. Every man who has lived, is living, and will live, costs Mary tears. Why? Asks James of Zebedee, who is obviously astonished. And Jesus says, because every man costs me suffering to redeem him. It is springtime, and there are many flowers in bloom. Jesus arrives home with his apostles and some women disciples, and is greeted by Mary. Her face, unaltered by age, is now rosy because of the surprise and her bright smiles. She greets with her angelical voice, "Peace to you, servants of the Lord and disciples of my Son. Peace to you, sisters in the Lord." And she exchanges a sisterly kiss with the women disciples. A little later, Jesus notices his mother in a contemplative mood. "You were dreaming once again, Mother, of your remote mystery," says Jesus, embracing her with his left arm and drawing her close to his heart. Mary raises her flushed face and says with a sigh, "Yes, son, and I was dreaming again of the first throb of your heart within me." Then Jesus calls the others and says, "Many of you know Mary as the mother, some as the spouse, but no one knows her as the Virgin Mary. I want you to become acquainted with her in this garden in bloom, to which your hearts desire to come when you are compelled to be far away, as to a resting place after your apostolic work. You see a woman different from other women, because of her holiness. But in fact you see her as a soul enveloped in a body, just like all women. Now I wish to reveal to you the soul of my mother, her true and eternal beauty. The soul of my mother was thought by God from everlasting. It is therefore eternal in its beauty, in which God poured every perfection to receive delight and comfort from it. In my mother is the forgiveness of God, the treatment of God. Mother, you are the caress of the eternal Father on the wound that man inflicted on God. In you is the salvation of the world, mother of love incarnate and of the granted Redeemer. The soul of my mother, merged in love with my Father, I looked at you within me, O soul of my mother. And your splendour, your prayer, the idea of being carried by you, comforted me forever and ever in my destiny of sorrow and inhuman experience. Thank you, Mother. When I came, I was already full of your consolation. I descended, perceiving you alone, your perfume, your song, your love. Joy, my joy. Now that you know that one only is the woman in whom there is no stain, that one only human being costs the Redeemer no injury, listen to the second transfiguration of Mary, the elect daughter of God. It was a clear afternoon in the month of Adar. The trees were in bloom in the silent kitchen garden, and Mary, Joseph's bride, had picked a flowery branch to replace the one that was in her room. She was thinking of many things, and while thinking, she ascended to God. Her soul was weaving a carpet of love, moving quickly like a shuttle on a loom, from the earth to heaven. And the Virgin was thus transfigured when Gabriel descended, calling her back to the earth with his ardour, and joined her soul to her body again, so that she might hear and understand the request of him who had called her his sister, but wanted her to be his bride. Jesus bends gently over Mary, who has slid down to his feet almost ecstatically, in the recollection of the remote hour. She is shining with a special light which seems to issue from her soul, and he asks her in a low voice, "Which was your reply, most pure mother, to him who assured you that by becoming Mother of God you would not lose your perfect virginity?" And Mary, almost in a dream, slowly smiling, her eyes shining with joyful tears, says, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done according to your word." And she reclines her head on the knees of her son, adoring him. Jesus covers her with his mantle, concealing her from everybody's eyes, and he says, "And it was done. All will be done until the end, until her next transfiguration and the one after that. She will always be the handmaid of God. She will always act according to what the Word says. My mother, that is my mother, and you ought to begin to become fully acquainted with her holy figure. Mother, mother, raise your face, my beloved. Call your devout admirers back to the earth, where we are for the time being." Jesus says this, uncovering Mary after a little while, during which no noise was heard except the humming of bees and the gurgling of the little fountain. Mary raises her voice, wet with tears, and whispers, "Why did you do that to me, son? The secrets of the King are sacred." And Jesus says, "But the King can reveal them whenever he wishes, mother. I did it so the words of the prophet may be understood. A woman will enclose the man in herself." And also the words of the other prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son." And also, "So that my disciples, who are struck with horror at too many things that they consider degrading for the word of God, may have, as counterbalance, many other things confirming them in the joy of being mine. Thus they will no longer be scandalized and will conquer heaven." At a later time, Jesus is with Mary, his apostles, and women disciples in Gethsemane. And the boy Margiam rushes up to Jesus and Mary and says, "Master, mother, a woman wants to see you. She says that she met you in Bethlehem. Her name is Naomi." They arrive at the little opening where a house is. A woman stands up at once and runs towards Mary, throwing herself at her feet and calling her by her name. "You do not remember me, O Mary of Bethlehem, but for 31 years I have remembered your name and your face as the symbols of mercy. I had come from far also, from Persia, because of the edict, and I was with child. My husband was taken ill on the way, and he languished and died in Bethlehem. I gave birth to my child 20 days before he died, and my crying pierced the sky, desiccating my breast, and turned my milk into poison. Both my son and I became covered with blisters, and we were thrown into a cavern and left there to die. Well, you were the only one who came, cautiously, now and again, for a full month. You brought us food and treated our sores, weeping with me and suckling my child, who owes his life to you. You risked being stoned because they called me the leper woman. Oh, my sweet star, I have not forgotten that. I went away when I was cured, and at Ephesus I heard of the slaughter. Last summer, a man from Ephesus heard your son. He found out who he was, and he followed him. And when he came back, he told me, and I came to see you. Holy Mother, before I die, I came to bless you for every drop of milk you gave my John, depriving your blessed son. The woman is weeping in a respectful attitude, with her head slightly bent, holding Mary's arms with her hands. And Mary says, "One should never refuse to feed a baby, sister. We were two mothers, two poor mothers, with two babies in the wide world. It was your grief to be a widow, and mine to be pierced because of my son," as old Simeon